and James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 51 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're tuned in to Inside the Locker Room with legendary Alabama basketball head coach Wim Sanderson and former SEC and ACC assistant basketball coach Barry Sanderson, a father-son duo with decades of coaching experience, breaking down the latest in Alabama athletics with the insight only two coaches can bring. From the hardwood to the gridiron, from inside Coleman Coliseum to the heart of Bryant-Denny Stadium. If it's happening in Crimson Tide sports, you'll hear it here first. With analysis, opinion, and straight talk that cuts through the noise. Live weekday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC. This is where champions get their day started. This is Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry Sanderson.
Good morning. Welcome in to the Tuesday edition of Inside the Locker Room, 205-342-9904. As always, if you want to jump in on the show with us this morning, no guests the second hour, so you guys will have plenty of time, but you got the first 30 minutes as well, so we give you the first 30. We take the next 30, then the 8 o'clock hour will be wide open for whatever you guys want to talk about. Download the app, the Tide 100.9 app. Get that on your smartphone. You can take us with you anywhere you go. You can also send us an app message. You can do that throughout the show. We'll be happy to read that over the show. Or email wimpandberry@yahoo.com, or you're obviously welcome to call 205-342-9904. We want to thank Yellowwood, pressure-treated pine from Great Southern. They make this 7 o'clock hour possible. If you're going to build the five-star backyard, the only choice is Yellowwood. Go to yellowwood.com to find a dealer that is closest to you. And if it doesn't have that yellow tag on it, then you certainly don't want it. Good morning, Chase. How are you? Good to see you this morning. Good morning, Dad. How are you guys doing this morning?
Doing okay. Several things that would be interesting for me if you call in. If you feel that week number 9 now, we could tell a little bit. Is Ohio State and Indiana the two best teams probably in the Big Ten? Are they better, just as good as Georgia, Alabama, and A&M? When you look at Georgia and Alabama, you look at a team with a loss. With A&M, you look at an undefeated team. You look at Ohio State and Indiana, they think these teams are going to be ranked. Probably going to be in the final 12. Who's going to be number one there? I think that's an interesting concept to look at that and see exactly where you are. We've got a lot of coaches being fired. Hugh Freeze has come out and said he needs a little bit of positivity from his athletic director. Hey, folks, it's hard to get there when you're 0-4 for the third straight year. Florida made a change and got somebody to take this play. Arkansas did the same thing. Auburn, if they had to, and I hope Hugh Freeze can keep it, but Auburn could take the defensive coordinator and make him the head coach. He's probably the best coach that they have. You've got a lot of coaches that are leaving, a lot of people that are staying with their coaches throughout the season. Florida State is. But back home here with the Auburn deal, it's going to be interesting to see exactly what happens. One thing I don't like, I'll say two other things, I'll get off. Alabama now is going to a school that is good, has not played well, has a home field advantage, is looking for the game. A little bit like the opener at Florida State. So don't think this is going to be an easy game for Alabama and Auburn. The same thing. Both these teams are going to teams that have lost. They changed their coaches at Arkansas. And it's going to be a tough game for Auburn there. The only other thing I'll mention that Barry talked about this, he's more at the high school than me. High school judge has said that athletes can profit from their talent. If we get that in the game of football, we got a bugbear problem with people not having to move. I don't know if they have to move it out of the state of Alabama. I can explain that to you. But be able to profit from the talent. I'm gonna take my kid. I'm gonna move to where they say move. I'm gonna get that money. My team's gonna be better than Thompson. Is not gonna rule everything like they have. Kind of problem. That's it.
Well, right now the rules are getting stricter in the state of Alabama. They're loose. They're getting looser in other states. So we see a lot of players leaving the state of Alabama, going to Georgia, Florida, because they can make NIL money. They can make money with their name, image, and likeness. You can't transfer in schools in the state of Alabama. They got a task force now to go in. Every guy transfers, you got to justify your move. You got to prove it all. And so it's getting stricter in Alabama, looser other places, and there's money involved. So you see a lot of the top talent. That's why Caleb Holt, he went from Buckhorn to Grayson over in Georgia, and even jumped from there and went down to Prolific Prep down in South Florida. Alabama, it sounds like Alabama and Kentucky are the two leaders for him. He acts like he may wait and sign late. So you have to battle that in good lands, having to figure out what you got to pay these guys is absolutely crazy. I think that's one of the holdups with Tennessee's baseball coach. He was mad that Arkansas was getting more baseball money. They kind of took the money away from women's basketball and they were giving it to baseball. And so right now he's negotiating behind the scenes to make sure he has the same amount of NIL money as Arkansas does there to run his program. So he does not want to play second fiddle to LSU and Arkansas. So he is continuing to not to hurt women's basketball at Tennessee, but he wants the money and he wants to get it guaranteed before he makes that decision.
I got a text from a person that told me, I go back on names, from Knoxville, saying that he was leaving and going with the
Giants. He hadn't yet.
Okay.
When did they text you?
I thought he was going with the Giants.
Well, they're still negotiating. So it makes me believe if Tennessee can work it out, then he's going to go back to Tennessee. But he is using this job to get everything that he needs. And that's why when people say, what, these buyouts are ridiculous. Well, if you want to keep Tony Vitello, you got to give him something ridiculous. And so that's why these buyouts, Florida, they're going to want to go get somebody that's big time. Well, when you do, you got to guarantee them a bunch of money, and then they get there, and if it doesn't work out, then that's why these guys end up with huge buyouts. If Lane Kiffin right now is in the driver's seat, he can – kind of dictate what happens, and Ole Miss doesn't want to lose him, and Florida wants him, and so people throw ridiculous money at these guys because they got to make a splash at the press conference. My question to you is, if John Cohen, and I agree with him not coming out and doesn't give Coach a vote of confidence, he's not firing him, he's not giving him a vote of confidence, means that tells me they haven't decided yet. And they're waiting to see kind of how, and this is going to be a tough game, man, to go to, because Arkansas can score and Auburn can't. And they're going to Auburn. Auburn's going to Arkansas. And so John Cohen doesn't want to come out and say anything because he doesn't know. If they know, then he would say something because he would probably like to end all the speculation as well. So I don't think they know right now what they're going to do.
Well, the situation lies in this. We'll see what the last few games turn out to be. If he goes completely 100% under, really bad, gets beat by Arkansas, which it could. I think a defense coordinator would probably come in there and take over. That's my opinion. I've got a little bit of inside pull in there, and they would like to run the course out with Hugh.
Sure.
And then that's what they would like to do. But Zip four is not good, and Barry's correct. Arkansas is going to be able to score. Whether you like this guy or not, at Arkansas, he's able to get that football team in the right spots to score on you. So Auburn is going to have their hands full. Quarterback, the evaluation of a quarterback for Oklahoma was wrong. Nice kid, but not good enough for them to win with. They just got problems.
The Alabama line, a little shocked about this. It was 13.5 yesterday. It's 11.5 today. So went down 2 points, Chase. 2 points, that's a lot of points. So 230, I think South Carolina, their fans will show up, but they're pretty frustrated right now, to be quite. This is the way they're getting beat, and they're not crazy about Mike Shula. They're not moving the football at all. They're not scoring points, and so – but I'm surprised that line went down 2 points. But we'll see where it lands at the end of the week. So if you want to get it now, go get it. Two-minute truck. They're at 1330 Martin Road East. That's where you go pick up your boxes, your packing supplies, whatever you need to make this a smooth move. They will take the stress away from moving. Give them a call today for the free estimate. 205-247-5050. That is 2 minute truck. Movers who care.
Here's what's trending on the Tuscaloosa Thread.
Good Tuesday morning. Information was made available late yesterday afternoon about a single vehicle crash on Sunday evening that claimed the life of a 16-year-old in Tuscaloosa County. That incident happened at approximately 6:40 p.m. when the teenager was struck by a 2018 Ford F-150 pickup driven by a 76-year-old man. That crash took place on Alabama 69 near the 133-mile marker, about 12 miles south of Tuscaloosa. Don Hartley, Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Good morning. As you make your way about, pay attention. There are some places you need to be careful. In Northport, there's an accident with traffic being directed around the accident area on Highway 69, both northbound and southbound, at Union Chapel Road. In Foster's, there's long-term road construction on I-20, eastbound before Foster's. In Cottondale, there's long-term road construction on I-20, eastbound at Tuscaloosa Coaling. And in Tuscaloosa, there's long-term road construction on I-20, westbound between Alabama 69 and Western Bypass. Also in Tuscaloosa, there's brush trimming going on McFarland Boulevard at Campus Drive. So be careful as you make your way. Your
cabbage and freshly prepared pico de gallo. Try it today at a participating U.S. Taco Bell location while supplies last. Contact store for participation, which varies.
The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And by Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at Tuscaloosa.
Like the Nissan Pathfinder. More selection, more value, and a lifetime powertrain warranty on every unit you purchase. No one beats the savings at Townsend Nissan Tuscaloosa.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours roadside assistance.
Wheel, Cypress Supply, Banks & Company Hardware, Stephen Fikes Allstate, B&B Transmission, Primetime Men's Clinic, South's Finest Roofing, and Cajun Bistro.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Sky partially sunny today. The chance of a few scattered showers, the high 74. Tonight, clear and cool with the low at 45. Tomorrow and Thursday, the sky sunny both days. The high tomorrow is 71. The high Thursday, 74. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 51 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Alabama Crimson Tide lives right here. Tide 100.9.
Pressure treated Jim Pine from Great Southern, but doesn't have the yellow tag on it. You don't want it. All right, we're getting, what's Alabama? 4-0, Chase, in the SEC. So we're at the midway point with the 8-game schedule. I think that's 4-0. We're halfway through, or a little more than halfway through college football. Who would be your, if you were going to pick the midseason SEC coach of the year?
That's easy.
Is it? Clark Lee?
Oh, sure. Vanderbilt.
So Elko's undefeated. You got Kalen DeBoer. I guess he won't get it. Drinkwitz done pretty well. So easy, Clark Lee?
Easy.
All right. Who will be the...
I think the big thing, if you talk about Quest, the big thing, Barry, for you, or not for me, you, but for all of us, is Indiana and Ohio State, can they beat a team, a Georgia or Alabama? Can they?
Well, Ohio State...
For number one seed in 12. Are they good enough to where the committee is going to say, well, Georgia's had a loss, Alabama's had a loss, that's Ohio State, let's just say Ohio State, and Indiana goes through undefeated. And they have it. Won't one of those two be a number one seed?
Let's look at Ohio State real fast. They beat Texas, okay. But we realize Texas is not that good. They beat them 14-7. They beat Grambling 70-0. Ohio. They won at Washington. I don't think Washington even ranked. They beat Minnesota. They won at Illinois. And they beat a bad Wisconsin team. So, I mean, at the end of the day, their schedule, they got Penn State next. You got Purdue, UCLA, Rutgers, and Michigan. That schedule, if Alabama and these guys continue to do what they're doing, beating all these ranked teams, they've got to be ranked ahead of Ohio State just on strength of schedule alone. It's not their fault, but these teams they're playing are not any good. They're not playing Oregon.
What about Indiana? Indiana's schedule is better than it has been. I know we've fussed about it, but to go into Oregon and win was humongous. Are they better than we think? Because when we think of Indiana, we think basketball. They're right now.
Indiana's got that signature win though at Oregon.
Yeah.
They beat Old Dominion, they beat Kennesaw State, Indiana State, Illinois. They killed Illinois, 63-10. They won at Iowa. Iowa just beat Penn State. They won at Oregon. So I would put Indiana ahead of Ohio State right now as far as what they've done in their resume. All right, get to the Yellowwood Hotline. What's up, Philip?
Good morning. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you, buddy?
Doing good. Hey, Barry and Wimp, I don't know if you remember or not. I'm trying to remember. But last year, Josh Cuevas took a hard hit in a game and I can't remember which game it was, and was basically out for the rest of the year. If I'm correct, and I think I am, do y'all remember which game it was? Because the reason I'm asking about that is Alabama's fortune started dipping at that time. I think that guy's a great player. He's an NFL prospect, and I think he'll be a long-time NFL player. And I think we missed him a lot last year when he got hurt. And I just wondered if you guys remember which game that was.
I don't remember which one.
I don't either.
Somebody can message me and let me know, but I don't. And I thought, as we watched Ty, and then last year, Milroe was just so one-dimensional. Ty could spread the ball around. Milroe could run, and he threw the ball to one player. Ty spreads that ball around. And so this offense is much better with Ty running it than it was with Milroe running. This offense fits Ty's skill set much better than it did Milroe. Don't you think, Philip?
Oh, yeah. It's just amazing to me to see the progress that Ty has made since the Florida State game, even. And that was just a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
So in just a few weeks, he's really ramped it up, and he got a lot of confidence that second game against Louisiana Monroe when he was able to just sort of freestyle and have a good time. And I think that Louisiana Monroe game was a blessing. And then he followed it up and got even more confidence against Wisconsin, and he's just built from there. I thought Ty had a nice game Saturday night. I didn't necessarily think it was his best game. I mean, it was a huge win, don't get me wrong, and I'm glad Alabama won. But I didn't think it was his best game, although he did have some pretty darn good throws.
Yeah, he spreads the ball around. You know, you can't. I mean, it's like Harry High School when you throw the ball to one player every time. He'll throw it to Bernard. Yeah. He throws it to the kid from Miami. He throws it to Ryan Williams. Jim Miller's involved in the offense. They run reverse. They've got a more balanced offense, and it's spread around a lot more than what it was.
He's helped that, and Grubbs has helped that immensely. And Chase Goodbread had a real good article back in early August about Grubb and his tendency to have a couple of gadget plays every game. He did it. He's done it all over the place, and he's done it at Alabama. The one the other night, we were awfully lucky to get out of that possible loss of about 15 to 18 yards when they threw that lateral back to Bernard.
But yeah.
You know, Bernard just made a great athletic play to regain those yards and salvage that drive. And I think, Barry, if I'm not mistaken, I think that play was in the midway point of that 99-yard drive that Alabama had.
Yeah, yeah. Well, those great players can make a bad play look good. Sometimes they get
you. You're damn right.
They get you out of a bad call because of their ability.
It'd be interesting if Tom or somebody could remember that Quavis play. When he took a really hard hit, and that pretty much sidelined him for many, many games. And I think our fortune started dipping at that time, although that was also that time when Miller started honing in on Brian Williams and Ryan Williams only. So I may be wrong.
Sounds good. Well, Tom's on the hole. I ask him.
All right, thanks.
Thank you, Phil. All right, get to the Yellowwood Hotline. What's up, Tom?
Hey, Tom. Good morning.
Morning, Barry. Morning, Coach. How are y'all?
We're good.
Okay.
I wanted to talk about Coach Freeze for a minute. I got a question I want you to ask JC when he comes on Thursday.
All right.
You remember last year, JC, Coach Freeze was looking at the same kind of record and things wasn't going real well and all that kind of stuff. You remember this is kind of a replay of last year, what he's going through now. But it's a little bit more intense with the criticism than it was last year. But JC said something that stuck with me. And he said that he had the feeling when he listened to Freeze and his press conferences and he watched his body language, he saw a man that did not want to be at Auburn.
Did not want to what?
Did not want to be at all. Why? Well, I wonder why.
Well, he thinks that there are. He stated that he didn't know the reason why that he wouldn't want to be at Auburn, but that he had picked up on body language and things that he said that made JC think that he did not want to be there.
Yeah, I'll ask JC.
Well, I think he's correct about most things, Tom. I really don't think. I think he's glad to be there because I don't think he knew where he could be. The problem he's got too is this is the third straight. This is the third straight season at 0-4, and your body language would be bad a little bit. You know, you're in a bad spot, and he's got a terrible look on his face. He doesn't
feel like he's, everybody acts like he talks about him being an offensive coach. His offense is horrible, Tom. It's boring. Yeah. It's predictable. It's old.
Somebody else is doing it with him. Somebody else is doing it with him.
Yeah, he needs to change his offense. Yeah.
I tell you what, he does need to change his defensive coordinator.
No.
That guy's good.
Yeah.
That guy is flat out good.
He won't be able to keep him. Probably.
You know, he could be the interim coach if things keep going bad.
Oh yeah, yeah, he really could. Strikes me as being a guy that can roll with the time. But who was it that said? One of the guests said, was it Coach Crow or was it Coach Max? Said that, or Hugh Freeze and Gus Malzahn. Their offense has gone by. It's not good anymore against these defenses in the SEC. And I can't remember which one of them said it, but one of them said it. It might be Coach Crow.
Yeah, I don't know which one, but I agree. It's old. It's you got to have a guy who can pass the ball, but it's easy to defend. Peyton Thorne was easy to defend. This new kid they got. I don't think he's a great passer. They got great receivers, but it is a boring offense. So, I don't know. We'll see. Tom, we got to get to break, get to Kevin. Thank you, sir.
Okay, I'll see.
All right. We'll take this break here. Thomas Rib Shack, go to thomasribshack.com. Get those great ribs, those juicy ribs. The catfish is excellent. The baked chicken, whatever you need there. If you want to cater, just go right to thomasribshack.com. You can order everything right there for the weekend and get ready for some Alabama football. When you get by Thomas Rib Shack, tell them that Wimp and Barry sent you. Listen, Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Good morning. As you make your way about, pay attention. There are some places you need to be careful. In Northport, there's an accident with traffic being directed around the accident area on Highway 69, both northbound and southbound at Union Chapel Road. In Foster's, there's long-term road construction on I-20 eastbound before Foster's. In Cottondale, there's long-term road construction on I-20 eastbound at Tuscaloosa Coaling. And in Tuscaloosa, there's long-term road construction on I-20 westbound between Alabama 69 and Western Bypass. Also in Tuscaloosa, there's brush trimming going on McFarland Boulevard at Campus Drive. So be careful as you make
it to the house. With 95.3 The Fair and Sports Radio Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC. You're listening to Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry, only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
We free, come together.
The Yellowwood pressure-treated pine from Great Southern. I'm bringing you the 7 o'clock hour. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want every Tuesday we go up to BM. We get Kevin. He's with the Birmingham News. Got his own podcast. We'll talk about all that at the end of the segment. Kevin Skarpinski. Good morning, Kevin. How are you?
Good morning, Kevin. Good morning, fellas. I'm good. Hope you are as well.
Yep. Go ahead, Deb.
Can we compare the Indiana-Ohio State two teams with the three teams of Georgia, Alabama, and A&M? Two of those three have lost a game. Indiana is better than none. Their schedule is better. As to who would be the number one pick, or if things go the way they go and everybody wins, he talks about the abilities of both leagues against each other in that. It's interesting to me to see who might be the top seed.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out, because look, the teams at the top of the Big Ten are as good as anybody. It's just that the depth of that league doesn't compare to the SEC.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you have better competition week in and week out in the SEC. I mean, look, Alabama just got done playing four consecutive ranked teams without a bye week in between. And became, according to Chuck Dunlap of the SEC office, they're the first team in SEC history to win four straight ranked games on four consecutive Saturdays. So you don't face that in the Big Ten. But as you said, Indiana looks legit. Ohio State looks legit. But so does Alabama. So does Georgia. Texas A&M as well. You know, the Alabama's going to be hurt in that Florida State continues to drop off. And so that loss looks worse as time goes on. But their wins look good. I look better as time goes on. The more Missouri wins, the more Vanderbilt wins, the more Georgia wins, obviously the better it is for Alabama. And I wonder how much the committee will take into account conference championship games. It sort of looks like Ohio State and Indiana are headed in that direction to play in the Big Ten championship game. And there's still no way to know who's going to be in Atlanta. There are just too many big games left, too many matchups among the top teams. And A&M may have, might have the best schedule going forward, but I don't think, it's not decided yet, and it shouldn't be. But it's going to be a fascinating second half of the regular season. And those look like the best. They certainly look like the group collection of the best teams in the country.
Yeah, but I think if the committee put their poll out today, you said the Florida State loss looks bad. I agree, but also the Texas win for Ohio State don't look that great. They won 14-7. And then what other win do they have on their resume? Grambling, Ohio, Washington, Minnesota. They did win at Illinois. Wisconsin's terrible. So when do we factor in the strength of schedule, even if a team's undefeated and a team like Alabama's beat all these ranked teams? Shouldn't they be ranked ahead of those guys just on strength of schedule, Kevin?
Well, that's a good point about the Texas win for Ohio State. As Texas looks more and more like a mediocre football team that had one good half against Oklahoma, you're supposed to consider things like that. You're supposed to factor in strength of schedule. And an 11-1 team can certainly be considered a better team than a 12-0 team. That's part of the mindset shift that a lot of people are still having trouble with. You know, we're all so used to focusing on that number in the loss column, and if you're undefeated, that automatically means you're a better team than someone who has a loss. That's not necessarily the case. I mean, look at the NFL. And as many people have noted, college football is becoming more and more like the NFL in so many ways. So, and it's going to be interesting, too. You know, the news came out yesterday that one of the college football playoff selection committee members, for they didn't specify the reasons, but is not going to be able to continue, and they're not going to replace him. So they're going to have – this is the fourth time in the 12 years of the playoff that – they won't have their full complement of 13 members. I don't know how that'll affect things, but yeah, that committee is going to tell us a lot this year about what's important. And the SEC, of course, is banking on the fact, because they went to 9 conference games starting next year, that strength of schedule will be a major factor when that committee gets in that room and starts deliberating on who should get in the playoff and how to seed everyone.
Kevin, I hear a lot of people complaining about these buyouts that these coaches are getting. But, I mean, Cignetti's winning. Jobs are opening. They don't want to lose him. So they give him a new contract with a huge buyout. Lane Kiffin's probably got a huge buyout. Alabama went and got DeBoer. He's got a huge buyout. Florida, they're going to try to go get somebody that's hot. Well, he's not coming unless he gets a big buyout. So that's where you got to hire these guys. And so if Florida and Penn State want to get somebody's attention, they're going to try to hire a hot coach and win the press conference. But with that comes the big buyout. There's no way around this stuff, is it, Kevin?
Well, it was funny on Saturday. I don't know if you saw the video that someone posted on Twitter. Who walked into Sanford Stadium in Athens alongside Lane Kiffin before the game, but Jimmy Sexton.
Yeah.
his agent, everybody's agent, Kurt Cignetti's agent, Kirby Smart's agent. It seems like every significant coach in America's agent. It's a problem because it's become a standard. It's become, you know, the regular course of business to put in these ridiculous buyouts. And now it's almost like, yeah, you're up against, your back's against the wall if you don't include that. But here's my question. You know, coaches, on the one hand, they acknowledge it's a business and they have to do what's best for them and their family when they change jobs. But if you, here's what I would say. Kurt Cignetti, for example, and I'm sure he does really appreciate Indiana giving him an opportunity to coach at the highest level, which he had never had before as a head coach. Got a late start as a head coach in terms of age. But if you have to pay him $93 million and guarantee every single penny to get him to stay there, he ain't there because he loves Indiana.
Yeah.
He's there because he loves the paycheck. And I'm not saying he doesn't love Indiana. I'm not saying he doesn't want to make that school the best it can possibly be. And he's certainly done a fantastic job. But are we having to, is that what's keeping him there? Are you telling me that after a year and a half of success, which didn't include winning a conference championship yet, he did get to the playoff, but I think he's 2-2 against ranked teams in 2 years, which is funny that he's only played four ranked teams in 2 years. Like I said, Alabama's played four in a row the last 4 weeks. But are you telling me that's what it took to keep him there? That if you didn't do that, he might go to Penn State or he might go to Florida or another job? The whole financial structure of college football in particular has been out of whack for a long time. I don't know how you fix it, but just on its face, the idea that if someone fails at their job, you will reward them with generational wealth is just comical at this point.
But Penn State and Florida probably would have given it to him. So Indiana says, man, this thing's rolling. Our attendance is better than it's ever been. Enrollment's going up. Let's don't lose him. Let's keep the momentum rolling. Let's do it. And so they do it. And then...
That's the cost of doing business now.
But how motivated are you still to, I mean, if it's 90-something million guaranteed, as long as I don't break the rules, could you lose your motivation there at some point, Kevin?
Well, what have people said about players? When you're paying the players that they're not going to be as motivated, they're going to be more about the money than the work and the effort and the team, and yet no one seems to equate that to coaches as well.
Yeah,
and I don't quite understand. That's why it's going to be very interesting. And I was surprised to watch what Kiffin does and what Ole Miss does with Kiffin. And I was surprised that the Ole Miss athletic director came out publicly and said that they want to get a deal done for him, like Indiana did with Cignetti. You know, to hold off or stave off any suitors. Well, if the longer it goes and they don't get that deal done, the more it's going to make people think that Kiffin is at least going to be interested in looking around at the end of the season to see what's possible.
Yeah, but at some point, Ole Miss got to say, we're tapped out. Like, we've kept bumping this guy up.
Yeah.
I mean, at what point do we say, you know, and I don't know that he is looking around, but are they not tapped out at this point, Kevin?
Well, I mean, again, look at Indiana. I think Cignetti started out making $4 million there. They bumped him up to $8 million last November, and now they've bumped him up to $11-something a year. And again, it's the guaranteeing. It's the long – here's part of the problem. It's the long-term nature of these deals. 8 years for Cignetti. He's 64 years old. He appears to be in great shape. I'm 64 years old. I don't think that's old. But 8 years and guaranteeing every penny. There's no guarantee that he can keep Indiana at that level for 8 years. He hasn't done it for 2 years. He's done it for 2 years. He hasn't done it for 3 years. And again, this is where the calendar is a problem. Why are we doing this in the middle of the season? Now, Kurt Cignetti said it took place in no time at all. He was game planning or watching film, and the AD came in and said, hey, I'd like to get this done. Here's what we'd like to do. Is it okay if I call your agent? And Cignetti said, yeah, sure, of course. Go ahead and call him. And who's Jimmy Sexton, of course. And he said within 24 to 48 hours, the thing was done. So he was basically saying it didn't distract him from game planning. he didn't have to worry about it. He didn't have to focus on it. That his agent took care of it and the AD took care of it. And but still, doing this in the middle of the season, you know, what if they lose three games in a row? Nobody expected Penn State to lose three games in a row. That's why James Franklin is unemployed right now. Well, that's not the only reason, but there are other reasons too. But and how about Franklin campaigning on game day for another job? Sounds like he wants to get right back on the horse, not sit out a year and do television, which he'd be pretty good at.
Yeah, that.
Oh, you know, the reason Ohio State's, you know, the carryover from Ohio State being number one last year, you know, continues, regardless of their schedule, continues to make them number one anyway. At Auburn, you've got some people down there that know as much or more than I do. They would like to see it go through and hang on and get better and not have to do anything. They're 0-4 for the third straight year. They go into an Arkansas team that can score a lot of points, and the team defends very well. Arkansas doesn't defend very well. Auburn does. Where do you think Auburn will go? I know he would like to have a little bit of vote of confidence from John. Has not gotten that. He did a little bit on our show back some time ago, but they hadn't lost that like that. Tell our listeners where Auburn's going, you think. I think I know, but I'm not sure.
Well, I don't think they want to make a change. I think this makes sense. The schedule does soften now after they've played four straight ranked teams. And unlike Alabama, they lost all four of them. And this is the first time in Auburn history that they've started the SEC season 0-4. And that's every one of Hugh Freeze's seasons. Now, the schedule obviously has been challenging, and they have been competitive. But, so Auburn, and it also helped Hugh Freeze that they did have those controversial calls in the Oklahoma game and the Georgia game. Yeah. And so, you know, fans don't want to hear this and don't like to hear it, but there was some controversy there. So that gives him a little grace, as does the difficulty of the schedule, as does the fact that the schedule softens and they expect to win a number of games in a row now, you know, but there's no guarantee they'll beat Arkansas. Bobby Petrino is trying to win games to get that job. And Petrino has been embarrassed by Auburn twice during coaching searches. So he's got a little extra under his hat when it comes to playing Auburn. He also beat Tuberville and Auburn in when he was at Arkansas the first time. Petrino did Tuberville's last season. So, you know, he would love... I don't know that he has any animosity towards Freeze himself, but he would love to beat Auburn on Saturday. So, but you should, if you're the team you think you are, and you've been held back because of quarterback play or game planning or calls within games or officiating, whatever it might be, you should beat Arkansas and you should beat Kentucky the next 2 weeks. And then maybe things look a little better. And then you go to Vanderbilt, and Vanderbilt's a better football team than you are. So who knows what happens if he gets there. But now if they get, I think what they'd like to do is at least let him get to the end of the season. I don't think, and I've talked to other people, I don't think, and I'm not playing doctor here, I don't think Hugh looks well. I don't know if it's the pressure of the losing. I don't know if it has anything to do with his health, and I certainly hope it doesn't. But I think the ideal situation for Auburn would be to allow him to finish out the season if possible, and then let him walk away for health reasons, which may be, I don't know if that will be necessary from a health standpoint, but everyone seems to think, if you've known him for any length of time or seen him or been around him for any length of time, he doesn't have the same fire, the same energy, the same passion that he did, at least publicly. I don't, you know, behind the scenes, I'm not sure if it's different, but so I think to me that's going to be the ideal situation, because I don't think it's going to work. I think it's pretty clear now after 2.5 years, it's not going to work. And he's improved the talent level, but his coaching is not up to par in the conference against the better coaches in the league. And I don't see that changing. So I think that's the most likely scenario here. But lose to Arkansas and maybe all bets are off. I don't know.
You know, it looks like to me he's lost his confidence as a coach. And Kalen DeBoer is gaining confidence each and every week. He seems more comfortable in the job. His kids are having fun. The atmosphere in that stadium was absolutely electric Saturday night. They're getting recruits left and right now. His confidence is growing in the job. Well, it looks like to me Hugh Freeze has lost his confidence as a play caller, as a developer of the quarterback. That's what I see, Kevin, when I see it in his eyes. Like he expects something bad to happen. And Kalen DeBoer, and they have some deficiencies, but they expect to win. There's a big difference.
I think that's a really good observation. You know, and you can contrast. Look at the way when DeBoer, just little things like when DeBoer came out of the tunnel on Saturday night and punched the goalpost padding. That was a different Kalen DeBoer. And then you look at Hugh Freeze, and how many times do they cut to him on the sideline after something goes wrong, and he just looks exasperated. When he does call the right play, like the long ball to Cam Coleman on Saturday, the guy who's supposed to be his best player drops it and Jackson Arnold puts it on target. And then for about the third, I think it's the third time in the last four losses, the game ended with a sack because they couldn't give Jackson Arnold even a second to get rid of the ball. On a play when he had to get rid of the ball, just throw it up. You can't end the game with the quarterback buried under an avalanche of blitzers. And yet that's what's happened at Oklahoma. It happened at A&M, and it happened against Missouri. So, you know, if they can't even competently find a way to block at least, you know, for a second and a half to let their quarterback get rid of the ball to give him a chance, I don't know what they're doing. So, yeah, he does seem like, you know, you get to that point. We never think about this with coaches. You know, we think coaches, they're in these jobs. They've got all the confidence in the world. They're confident bordering on arrogant. But they're human too. And the more things go wrong, the harder it is to have confidence in what you're doing, in your plan. And again, the problem is mainly on his side of the ball on offense. And that is a huge strike against him, just like it was against Billy Napier. And Scott Strickland said it yesterday, I think it was yesterday, that Napier's refusal to hire an offensive coordinator and turn the offense over to him and be more of a CEO, which Billy did, was really good at and did a lot of good things in restructuring that football program, but he stubbornly held on to calling plays, and that was a big factor in him losing his job.
Yep, that.
I don't really have anything else. I did want to mention the situation of paying high school players to profit from their abilities, if that comes forth, it's come up a little bit this morning. We're in for a Booger Bear problem there.
That's already happening in most states other than Alabama.
And it's going to be not very good for college athletics, for high school athletics, in my opinion. You might want to comment on that.
Oh, I agree 100%. I think you've got to draw the line at the high school level in terms of NIL, because that is not what high school athletics is supposed to be about. The overwhelming majority of high school athletes are not going to play college sports. They're just not. The numbers bear it out. And so if you're going to start paying high school players to perform, you have totally bastardized the purpose of what Heath Harmon, like the AHSA executive director, calls education-based athletics. And I'm glad Alabama has held the line there. But we know, because we've seen it, players have left this state to go to other states, because I know some basketball players this has happened with, because they could get paid in Georgia or Florida, at other schools in other states. And if that costs us talent, I think that's fine. The quarterback at Thompson, for example, Trent Seaborn, who just committed to Alabama yesterday, he's still a junior. He was offered a ridiculous amount of money to transfer to other schools in other states. And so far, you know, he has resisted that temptation and he stayed there, and good for him. So, but no, to me, it's the antithesis of high school athletics. And I hope Alabama can continue to hold the line and put the emphasis where it belongs, not on money at that age.
All right. Lastly, Kevin, besides Lane Kiffin, put him to the side. I don't think he's going to Florida. I could be wrong. Max Howard said something about they were going to pay a coach $16 million or something. I don't know if that's true, but who can Florida realistically hire? Give me two names, two or three names that they could, besides Lane Kiffin.
Well, one name that stands out, and I've talked to people there who have some knowledge behind the scenes. And one guy that watches Jed Fish at Washington. He's a Florida guy. Spurrier gave him his start as I think it was a grad assistant. He wears a visor. He worships Spurrier. I think if they asked, he would be a guy who would not say no. And he's an offensive guy. He did a nice job at Arizona. He's doing a decent job at Washington. I don't know if he could get it done at Florida, but I think he's one of those next tier guys that they could hire, that they do have some interest in. I will tell you this, it sounds wild, and this was a week or so ago. I don't know if it's still valid. Someone down there told me that there was a very quiet campaign going on behind the scenes to get Urban Meyer the job. As crazy as that may sound, he has been trying to ingratiate himself back into the Florida family, and they're going to honor him for some reason. I don't remember what the occasion is. In Nevada game in November. And again, I don't know how realistic that is, and I don't know how much he has left in the tank, but that'll be interesting to see. So there's a couple of names to keep in mind.
Would Dabo Swinney, or would they say, nah, he hadn't adjusted to the time? I mean, are they tired of his act over there at Clemson? Is it time for him maybe to go somewhere else?
Well, probably it may be the best thing for Dabo to decide to go somewhere else. They're not going to fire him at Clemson, nor should they. But obviously there's a big red flag. If he has not adapted, if you're another school like Florida, if he hasn't adapted to the way college football is run now, the way you have to win now, the NIL era, the transfer portal era, you have to be a little concerned. While, yeah, you might win the press conference if you hired Dabo, but are you going to win at a championship level if he continues to, you know, adhere to the standards that he holds so dear? That's a major question for me. But again, Dabo's very loyal. I don't know. It's hard to imagine him coaching elsewhere to not see him on the Clemson sideline. So I don't know. But obviously this season has gone so wrong for them that it almost seems like, What if people said you should not stay at a job any longer than 7, 8, 9, 10 years, unless you're consistently winning championships like Nick Saban did?
Yeah.
That, you know, for your own health and for the health of the program, you're probably better off moving on after a certain period of time.
Wow, that name you said from Washington, I didn't even know who that was. I don't know if that would excite the – you would have to pay $16 million to get him.
No, you wouldn't.
So, anyway.
You wouldn't have to pay – hey, and look, you wouldn't have to pay $16 million, I don't imagine, to get Urban Meyer either.
No.
And that's something, too, and this is interesting. And again, I don't know. And this person is pretty well connected. But they told me that Urban would have certain demands, and one of them would be a dollar figure for NIL, like a high dollar figure, so they could compete in recruiting.
You just hand Nick Saban a blank check and say, fill it out, and we'll let you know if we can do it.
How about the tweet that said, if Nick Saban were interested in returning to coaching, Florida would be interested in talking to him. Well, yeah, as every other school in America.
Yeah. Ron DeSantis said I'd be interested in winning the lottery, too. So, anyway, all right, tell everybody where they can find you, Kevin.
Yeah, best thing to do, follow me on Twitter/X at Kevin Skarbinski. You can keep up with my columns every week in the Birmingham News. You can find those on AL.com and my podcast, Kevin Skarbinski-Scarbo Knows, on YouTube.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thanks, guys. Have a great week.
All right. Thank you. Phone lines will be wide open. So some of you guys been whining and I didn't get you on the show yesterday. You guys can dial us up 205-342-9904. We want to thank Yellowwood, pressure treated pine from Great Southern. Always remember, guys, if it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want it.
Got to be good looking because he's so hard to see. Come together right now. Over me.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles. Here's Steve DeSager.
The Toronto Blue Jays will host Game 1 of the World Series against the Dodgers on Friday night on Fox TV. The Blue Jays won Game 7 at home to take the American League Championship, eliminating Seattle 4-3. George Springer with a three-run homer in the seventh. The loss to reliever Edward Bazzardo, who allowed the home run to the first batter he faced. The save to Jeff Hoffman, who got three straight strikeouts in the ninth. The series MVP was Vladimir Guerrero Jr. There were two NFL games Monday night. Seattle took the late contest over Houston 27-19. The Seahawks, despite four turnovers, get the win. They're 5-2. Detroit beat Tampa Bay 24-9. Each team 5-2. Jahmyr Gibbs of the Lions with 17 carries, 136 yards rushing and two scores. Tampa Bay veteran wide receiver Mike Evans just returned after his hamstring injury. He left before halftime of this game with a broken collarbone and concussion.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Good morning. As you make your way about, pay attention. There are some places you need to be careful. In Northport, there's an accident with traffic being directed around the accident area on Highway 69, both northbound and southbound at Union Chapel Road. In Foster's, there's long-term road construction on I-20 eastbound before Foster's. In Cottondale, there's long-term road construction on I-20 eastbound at Tuscaloosa Coaling. And in Tuscaloosa, there's long-term road construction on I-20 westbound between Alabama 69 and Western Bypass. Also in Tuscaloosa, there's brush trimming going on McFarland Boulevard at Campus Drive. So be careful as you make your way. Your
Save up to 50% on your Babbel subscription when you sign up at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com to save up to 50%. BABBEL.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
The sky partially sunny today, the chance of a few scattered showers, the high 74. Tonight, clear and cool with the low at 45. Tomorrow and Thursday, the sky sunny both days. The high tomorrow is 71, the high Thursday, 74. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 50 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're tuned in to Inside the Locker Room with legendary Alabama basketball head coach Wim Sanderson and former SEC and ACC assistant basketball coach Barry Sanderson, a father-son duo with decades of coaching experience, breaking down the latest in Alabama athletics with the insight only two coaches can bring. From the hardwood to the gridiron. From inside Coleman Coliseum to the heart of Bryant-Denny Stadium. If it's happening in Crimson Tide sports, you'll hear it here first. With analysis, opinion, and straight talk that cuts through the noise. Live weekday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 a.m. WTBC. This is where champions get their day started. This is Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry Sanderson.
Welcome back to the second hour Inside the Locker Room, 205-342-9904. If you'd like to jump in on the show, Tuscaloosa Toyota, go to the website, TuscaloosaToyota.com. You look at all the new inventory, the pre-owned inventory. You want to schedule a service, they have a tab for that. Rent a Toyota, try it before you buy it. You're going over to Columbia for the weekend, you don't want to take your car, you want to rent one of these fine Toyotas, and you can do it right there. Those Tundras, 2.99% APR for the first 72 months. The 2026s are in. Those Camrys, the 2026 are in. Beautiful vehicles there. So go to the website or swing by Skyland Boulevard and find Justin. Tell him that Wimp and Barry sent you. Also, this month, to the end of this month, buy three tires, get that fourth tire for $1. So that is quite a deal there. Dad, we talked to Kevin about it. Haven't you seen Coach DeBoer kind of gain confidence? And it looks like maybe Hugh Freeze is losing confidence in whether he can do the job. I think Kevin DeBoer's gaining it.
I had mentioned that when Tom was on the face, the look on the face of the head coach at Auburn, and he does not look good. It really didn't look great last year. He looks concerned and worried and a little bit limited in what he's able to do. I think any time a coach is laid back, like Alabama's, if you want to say, when you first came here, and he shows a lot of emotion, you are able to see a lot of difference in his feelings and your feelings towards him, your feelings towards the team, your feelings that the team is going to get tougher because he's kicked something or pushed something or said something that was quite a little bit different than what he'd been talking about or what he had been saying in the attitude that he had. And when you go from kind of mediocre, not you know, let everybody do their own thing to that way, I think it really, especially along when you're winning, you certainly want to think he's got a little bit tougher on them. Maybe he had, but they've been very fortunate to win the close games. And, you know, things could go bad at any point in time. So we've already indicated that. But I do think you're right. You see the difference between the two, the difference in Alabama is just where it was to where it is now. And it's kind of been that way. The look on at Auburn has been that way now for the last couple of years.
Yeah, one of the things you don't hear now, we heard it all last year, especially after Oklahoma and Vanderbilt and Michigan, then we heard it after Florida State, is how Nick Saban coached, how he chewed butts on the sideline. You don't hear that anymore. We hadn't heard that in the last month and a half about Kalen DeBoer style versus – you don't even hear Nick Saban's name anymore about how he handled the program because people are satisfied now because you're winning. So, so that takes care of that. All right, we'll get to the Yellowwood hotline here. We'll bring Jason into the show. What's up, Jason?
I'm gonna touch on a couple of things. I'm gonna change it up a little bit. Can we, real quick, before, how much satisfaction did you get yesterday, Barry, knowing I was on hold when Cowboy was on the phone and you asked him what he thought about Memphis getting beat by UAB? How much satisfaction did you have in that?
I mean, I could have just pulled you on and drilled you because you picked Memphis and you argued with me about the couple of points and they didn't even need the points. They didn't even win the game. So,
hey, Jason, that was a good pick.
Yeah, that was about as good a pick as it was North Carolina and California. That was about those two picks were about the same.
Just so we're clear as a bell this week, one of my two picks will be Arkansas -2.5.
Okay, against Auburn.
Petrino's going to try to kill Auburn. Watch.
Yeah, and he probably.
All right, so look, y'all didn't touch on this yesterday. I'm 47 growing up. Obviously, Pete Rose was one of my favorite players. He still is. I know he's passed. Ted Williams, Mickey Mantle, DiMaggio, I get all them. They're all great, too. This is a fair question, and I want somebody to answer, call in or whatever. With what this Ohtani guy is doing, is he the best athlete on the planet right now?
The best what?
Is he the best athlete on the planet right now, pitching, hitting, and everything in the World Series?
Well, that performance is probably the greatest performance in baseball history, not just the playoffs. You pitch six innings, strike out 10, hit 3 home runs in a playoff game. And he had struggled at the plate. They talked about when they got back to L.A., he got in the cage and really went to work. They knew something special was about to happen. But,
Has Wimp or yourself – ever seen an individual performance, including basketball, that was as good as that?
I don't know how you can compare those, but Go ahead. No, that's it was amazing what he did there. So, and the Dodgers will beat the Blue Jays. That won't even be a series, will it?
I saw Ted Williams play in person. Does that count?
Yeah. Ted Williams had one of the prettiest swings of all time.
Oh, he was great. I saw DiMaggio play that year, and I saw Williams play. Williams is a great, great hitter. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
All right, y'all have a good morning. I'll keep listening.
There's Jason with North River Lawn Care. You need to be taken care of. He'll take great care. You just don't let him make a pick. He was Chase. Catch that phone there. He was arguing with me about Memphis and whether I gave him 20 points or 22. It didn't matter. Memphis absolutely laid an egg.
What an upset!
That may be the biggest upset. Even bigger than UCLA beating Penn State. That's the biggest upset of the year, isn't it?
Well, it's in the top five.
I mean, who would have thunk that? Nobody. All right, we'll take a break here. We'll open the phone lines. We also hear from Coach Kalen DeBoer. He met with the media yesterday, and I think he's getting comfortable here. And he seems to be enjoying himself. So people are talking about him going to Penn State. He ain't going to Penn State. He's here and going to keep it rolling, hopefully. U.S. Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Good morning. As you make your way about, pay attention. There are some places you need to be careful. In Northport, there's an accident with traffic being directed around the accident area on Highway 69, both northbound and southbound at Union Chapel Road. In Foster's, there's long-term road construction on I-20 eastbound before Foster's. In Cottondale, there's long-term road construction on I-20 eastbound at Tuscaloosa Coaling, and in Tuscaloosa, there's long-term road construction on I-20 westbound between Alabama 69 and Western Bypass. Also in Tuscaloosa, there's brush trimming going on McFarland Boulevard at Campus Drive, so be careful as you make your way.
Cabbage and freshly prepared pico de gallo. Try it today at a participating U.S. Taco Bell location while supplies last. Contact store for participation, which varies.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours roadside assistance.
R.com, where you pick it out and we'll work it out. On select models with approved credit plus tax, registration, and dealer fees. See dealer for details. Expires month end.
Crimson Tide today, presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi, online at pearlriverresort.com, and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com, and by DCH Regional Medical Center, online at DCHSystem.com.
From the University of Alabama, this is Crimson Tide Today. It's a daily update on Bama sports, and it's brought to you by Vector Security Champions Lane, the best pregame fan fest in college football. Visit championslane.com for updates throughout the season. Hello again, everybody. I'm Roger Hoover. On Tuesday's edition of Crimson Drive, driven by NASCAR, we'll be joined by Alabama defensive back, Bray Hubbard.
Stepping up and being ready. I think that's the number one thing is, you know, when my number was called, I was ready. And that goes into the preparation that every week, even though I wasn't starting, it was just being ready. I mean, taking a deep dive into the playbook, film room, whatever it was, just even my body. I mean, I know I was playing special teams, but it's still a toll on your body, and practice is a toll on your body. So you have to kind of stay on top of everything, and that's hard to do when you're a backup, you're not playing, like, that's hard to stay focused, and I'm really proud of myself for staying focused and staying on the grind and making sure that, you know, Missouri game, or really, I guess you could say Tennessee game, when Keon was to go down, that I was ready to go.
I'll have more in a moment.
Tide fans, are you ready for game day in Tuscaloosa? Don't miss the ultimate pregame experience this season at Vector Security Champions Lane. Opening 4 hours before each home game, this fan fest has everything you need to get pumped for kickoff. Located next to the Walk of Champions, you'll enjoy live music, player autographs, the best food trucks from all over Alabama, and ice cold beer in our Legends Lounge beer garden, where there's never a cover charge. Check out championslane.com each week for the latest updates. Roll Tide!
Join us this afternoon for Crimson Drive, driven by NASCAR, streaming live at 2 p.m. Central on all CTSN social media platforms at UA_CTSN. Crimson Tide Today is brought to you by Vector Security Champions Lane. Crimson Tide Today is a production of the Crimson Tide Sports Network from Learfield.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
The sky partially sunny today, the chance of a few scattered showers, the high 74. Tonight clear and cool with the low at 45. Tomorrow and Thursday, the sky sunny both days. The high tomorrow 71, the high Thursday 74. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 53 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Two-time state champion and two-time NIT champion, Barry Sanderson breaks down the latest in sports on Inside the Locker Room on Tide 100.9.
Welcome back to Inside the Locker Room. Get right back to the Yellowwood Hotline. We'll bring Cowboy. Good morning, Cowboy.
Hey, Cowboy.
How you doing, Barry and Coach?
All right, how are you?
Ted Williams was called the Splendid Splinter.
I knew that.
I never saw him play, but I bet he was something else in person.
Well, he was, awesome. they put the Ted Williams move on him, and they moved other people to right field because he's left-hand hitter. And that you can't do that now, but baseball's changed the rules, unfortunately, where you can't do all that. But they had a lot. And Lou Boudreaux was the manager of Cleveland, and when they played them, they would move everybody over in third baseman, shortstop, so maybe they have a guy. It was quite different. But a lot of times, the splendid splitter would knock that booger barrel over everybody's for a home run. He was some player. He's a different kind of guy, too.
My father, he loved Ted Williams. But, hey, you know, how about did you watch that game last night, Barry? I flipped over from the NFL, Toronto. They had first and second, and that guy laid that beautiful bunt down, just killed it right there in front of home plate where the catcher had nowhere to go but first base. You got second and third, nobody out. Down two runs, and the table set, and George Springer, he cranked the jack.
Yes.
Boy, he jacked that ball. That was an awesome moment, wasn't it?
It was. And then, you know, the next inning, it looked like they're going to blow it open, and they get the double play, and then they get out of it, only down one run. You think, well, maybe they could get a run there, the Mariners, but the Blue Jays pitching held up, and you think the Blue Jays got any chance against the Dodgers? I don't. Do you?
I hope so. I mean, I like old Vlad Guerrero Jr. Yeah. He's got some charisma. I know they're a Canadian team, but I kind of like that Toronto team, man. I don't dislike the Dodgers bad, but they just try to buy a championship.
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe we could you know, all those Toronto guys except Springer and some free agents that wasn't high money guys they placed in there. And, you know, mainly that's a homegrown team. And, you know, I'd like to see Toronto.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to see it. I'd like to see it go seven. But Dodgers playing pretty well right now. So we'll see.
Oh, they are. You know, Toronto's got to win those first two games at home, I think.
They do have, I was going to ask you, who has home field advantage, the American League?
I think so. They're playing the first game in Toronto.
Okay,
that means they have it. Yeah, I saw on last night where Frank Thomas III committed to play at Auburn. He's a little trimmer built than his dad was, but I bet he'll be a heck of a college baseball player. How's Jack doing in his fall ball.
He's done well this fall. They got one more game. They had some inter squads there, but he's done well. I feel like he's throwing better, so we'll see where it all leads. But everything's going late now with all the portal. None of these schools know what they got, so you just got to be patient and ride it out.
Is he going to do 2 years of JUCO or maybe just
one? This is his second year, so he's going to do 2 years there.
And then he'll be looking to play somewhere next year elsewhere,
Now,
do you think maybe – that Jimmy Sexton has kind of told Auburn through the channels that maybe this isn't the year to change coaches. Let's hold on through this year, and then after next year we might be a better deal because
Here's the deal on that. He'll give them the people he thinks that are interested in leaving. He'll give that to the president. He won't give the president, give the AD and some of the boosters of some of the people that he thinks might be wanting to leave. If they like that, if they like some of those people, they go forward with it. If they don't like some of those people, they hold off on it. Like, and sometimes this week you think something's going to happen. All of a sudden, next week, something else happens. So you kind of put them on hold there a little bit, and then you just kind of go from there very slowly.
Yeah, Barry, do you think James Franklin would be a viable deal like at Auburn, or do you think he wants something more? I don't know, more cosmopolitan, let's put it that way.
I don't know if he would be or not. You could sell it, I think, probably, with his record. I mean, they were, one game for the national championship last year. They were ranked in the top two or three. They're a couple plays from beating Oregon to being ranked. But he's pretty well-spoken in the media. You could probably sell him down there, but for whether he would want to, I'm sure he would want to go there, but it depends on what his other options are. I don't know what he can get.
Auburn needs to hire a name. He's a name. I don't know. He did a very good job of recruiting at Vanderbilt. Really good.
Yeah.
But they've got to hire a name. Somebody that jumps out at you. I think this is the one time they need to do that. Go ahead, Barry.
James Franklin has recruited the Phoenix City area because he's had a couple players from
recruiting Phoenix now. City. Areas don't matter anymore, Cowboy.
It's money.
People talk about, never recruit. It's not areas anymore. It's strictly how much you gonna pay me. And if I'm done really well, will you pay me more? I just don't think that all that matters anymore, to be quite honest with you.
It's about the denario. I think James Franklin's in play at Florida.
He could be.
What do you guys think?
He could, but you start out, you have a wish list. I mean, I'm sure they're hoping they can get Lane Kiffin, then all of a sudden that goes away, and then you get to the next guy, and then you get to the next. That's what happened. If you remember NC State, they're trying to hire a basketball coach. They had like four or five guys, six guys tell them no. And I remember I was with Mark Godfrey at the Final Four. They called his agent and said, if we offer him the job, we got to know he'd take it. He said, he'll take it. They sent the plane immediately. So, who you want and who you can get are two different things.
Right. So, who would be somebody? Yeah, but I'm like you guys. I was watching a game, an Auburn game, or even last Saturday. Hugh Freeze looks like he swallowed some bad onions on the sideline or something. He just doesn't look, doesn't look engaged. I thought, you know, maybe up there at Oklahoma, he should have went more ballistic on the officials, and he just didn't seem like he had the energy to go ballistic.
If I were Florida, I'd try to hire the guy at Georgia Tech if I could. I don't know if I can get him.
Barry, no, he doesn't have the personality that Florida wants.
Okay.
No, but he can coach. He can coach.
Okay. He's done pretty well at Georgia Tech.
Now, Brent Key would fit at Auburn.
Yeah. Yeah.
He would fit at Auburn.
Yeah.
Yeah, he would. Yeah. You're right.
That's probably the guy that you could possibly pull out of Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech's got limited resources, and you could pay him, and he's a guy that'll be hot. Now, whether he'll move or not, I bet he will. He'll take one of these jobs.
You need to get.
I was going to say Auburn still got a coach. We're just speculating.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Yeah. You know.
And I think if he wins a few of these games, they're going to keep him. They can maybe try to maintain the roster and try to get that quarterback situation straightened out. And then they're going to have a long talk about changing that offense down there. So,
yeah.
So, we'll
you ready for basketball season this week, Barry?
Is it this week?
Yeah, the NBA starts.
Nah, I don't care about the NBA. I'll be ready for some college basketball, though, so it's not too far away.
Yeah. What looks like Alabama wasn't that great defensively against Florida State, but that's an exhibition game. Or were they? I don't know.
I didn't see it. They gave up 105, so no. I don't have to see it. If you gave up 105, you weren't good defensively. So, anyway. All right, Cowboy. Yeah. Thank you, sir.
Hey, be good.
All right, back up to this Yellowwood hotline. What's up, Tony?
Hey, Tony.
Hey, Coach. Speaking of basketball, Coach, the way they did football, does Alabama have permanent opponents that they're going to be home and away every year in basketball?
They'll change one. Last year they had Mississippi State, Auburn, and Kentucky. This year they have Mississippi State, Auburn, and Tennessee. Garth will have you change maybe one team every year. Basically, Alabama will keep Mississippi State and Auburn every year, but there'll be a change, whatever it might be. And they do that with each of the three. The schedules, regardless of what people say, when you only play three teams twice, you know, you look real hard at the six teams that you're going to play once on the road and see where that's going to stand for you. I think Alabama's got an excellent schedule this time. I think that they don't have to go to Arkansas and they've got Tennessee, you know, twice with means they're right at home. I think studying their schedule, you guess about how good teams are going to be. You don't really know. You guess who the bottom four are. You know, Bucky's at A&M, he's way down like a number 13 or something. So you really don't know for sure.
Tony, you still there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Good. Yeah, go ahead, buddy.
Yeah. Is it safe to assume that Auburn will always be in that two-game rotation?
Yeah.
Home and away?
Yeah.
Okay.
So other games will come and go after that. I got it. I see. So Barry, how many games does Hugh Freeze have to win to retain his job? And number two, the past two quarterbacks he's recruited is to fit his system that he runs. So if he's going to change systems, he's got to change personnel as well. Kid Deuce tonight, that's what he ran.
I know, but I mean, if you bring him back, you got to change something. You can't just hope it works out again and you bring back the same quarterback like they did with Peyton Thorne. You run the same system. Your offense is just outdated and just doesn't look good. And you'd have a hard time having the fan base excited about that, wouldn't you? If you change it,
absolutely.
I mean, I don't know, but I just, let's look at the schedule here. They got Arkansas and then they got Kentucky at home at Vandy. That ain't going to be favored there. They got Mercer in Alabama. So they're not favored this weekend. So the only games that are going to be favored of the next five are Kentucky and Mercer. So I don't know. They win Kentucky and Mercer's out of enough. Go ahead.
One thing has happened is that with some of the boosters, the officiating has been effective for a few. They have felt like they got screwed big time without coming out publicly and saying it. So that's been a little bit of a plus. It's not going to be enough plus if he if Vanderbilt beats him and he just keeps going down the drain. I don't think it'll. But you've got to have somebody. You got to have somebody that's a name that you feel like is a guy at Georgia Tech will be fine. He's very tough, very good, and he would be a good catch. Barry's right.
Yeah, I don't want them to get Brent Key. let me ask y'all: is Petrino, if he wins a couple of these games, he's not supposed to? Do y'all think he's coaching for the Arkansas job or maybe another opportunity? Would he be somebody Auburn will look at?
Not another. He's not going to be able to get another one. But he might be able to get the one he has now.
Yeah, I agree. Well, all right, gentlemen. Y'all.
All right, bud. Thank you. All right, real quick, get down here to the Yellowwood Hotline. What's up, Robbie?
Hey guys, how you doing? Good morning. Happy Tuesday.
How are you?
Thank you. I'm doing good. Hey, Coach. Since Cowboy brought up basketball, you know, I know they're going to score a lot of points. That's obvious. But they gave up a lot. But they got a lot of new faces, and we know the season's long. They hit a gauntlet of games like non-conference, and then of course the SEC is going to be tough. So, Coach, what is the most important thing for Coach Oates right now? Building those five, six guys, getting them unified, like seeing who's going to be out there and getting on the same page, building depth.
I think the question mark for me is inside play. The other factors is defensive play. He's got to get better defensively. His inside play, I'm not sure about it. I think they're a little questionable about it. I may be dead wrong about that. But those two things are important. And I think the third thing, Alabama has done a lot. Now I know they play fast. They turn the ball over a lot. It would be interesting to me if somebody would play Alabama the way Duke played them. Switch everything. If you do that, you're right in somebody's face every second. But nobody has it. Of course, Duke had great players too. But I think Alabama's going to have a – Alabama will be an NCAA team. They've got a tough non-conference schedule, and they'll be in the top half if they don't win the SEC. So they're going to be very good. We don't have to worry about that.
All right. That's why I know it's a long season, so got a lot of new faces, but they're going to be exciting.
Everybody does.
Yeah, they're just trying to see who could they count on. You know, I know they think the kid from Auburn and Phylon, but they got to find some more to go with those, and hopefully Wrights will be healthy enough to, get back to his regular form. So if he does that, they got a great backcourt.
Yeah, that's hard to come back with Wrights, isn't it, Coach? Like, just to get your range of motion.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Achilles. That seems like that's a weak area right there.
Barry said they've got great shooters. They can get some board, got to have some board play, especially defensively, so that nobody can put back a bunch of putbacks on them. So that lies in a lot of that stuff lies in their board work.
There you go. All right, Robbie, we appreciate you, sir.
All right, thank you, guys.
Thank you.
All right.
All right, let's tell them about Bryant Bank. We'll get to break and get that vinegar tip for this Tuesday.
Joe, Bryant Bank's an outstanding bank, and they know exactly what's going on there. And you can open a personal business account with them, and they'll do a good job with you. They care about you as a person. They know what you're. They know your needs. You can bank online around the clock, which is helpful to you. So go by Bryant Bank, and they'll be heard inside the locker room, and I think you'll be well pleased.
I'll take absolutely great care. All right, we get back. We have the vinegar tip for this Tuesday. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM, WTBC, SC, home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Good morning. As you make your way about, pay attention. There are some places you need to be careful. In Northport, there's an accident with traffic being directed around the accident area on Highway 69, both northbound and southbound at Union Chapel Road. In Foster's, there's long-term road construction on I-20 eastbound before Foster's. In Cottondale, there's long-term road construction on I-20 eastbound at Tuscaloosa Coaling. And in Tuscaloosa, there's long-term road construction on I-20 westbound between Alabama 69 and Western Bypass. Also in Tuscaloosa, there's brush trimming going on McFarland Boulevard at Campus Drive. So be careful as you make your way.
For you, contact Courtney White at 205-242-5127. North River Timber, CO at gmail.com. North River Timber Company.
Stay up to date with the Crimson Tide.
Local high school sports and Bama in the pros right here.
On Tide 100.9.
I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. So good. So
welcome
good.
Back to Inside the Locker. You know what that song means? Just the vinegar tip for the Tuesday, this Tuesday. Brought to you by Michael McGuire, State Farm Insurance. Give Michael and his staff a call. They'll set you right up. 205-752-8500. All right, where are we going today?
This song says, I feel good. I want to be sure that your mice and your rats don't feel good.
Oh,
here's
goodness.
What the problem is. When cold weather comes about, mice and rats looking for a place to go and trying to get warm. And they're the worst in the world when this cold weather comes about. Now we've had hot weather so long. So you get you some apple cider vinegar. And you get your spray bottle. A nozzle with attached to a bottle that'll really spray. And you get you some apple cider vinegar and you spray that around the base of your house or your home. Outside, it will keep the mice and the rats away. So when cold weather comes, those mice and rats are in there, and roaches sometimes in there, just simply spray it with the apple cider vinegar. You will absolutely be pleased as far as little mice and little rat pellets are in your house. So that's your tip for the day. That's a good one, too.
All right, so... kill those rodents. It'll clean out. It's killing the rodents. It'll take the smells away. It'll whiten your chrome on your, not whiten, it'll shine that chrome on your bumper. You got a lot of things. That vinegar does everything. Good Lord. Does it coach defense?
Yeah.
All right. Blue Plate. The Blue Plate special is the blue plate is sick, Chase. It's sick right now. Doug Bell's our picker now, but do you have any idea where you're going to go this week? Do you know?
I studied it every day, and like I did last week. I couldn't find anything. Of course, I almost took the Birmingham game. The last minute I didn't, I felt like North Carolina couldn't go out West Coast and win at all. I did not realize that the California quarterback was throwing double coverage every time he got it. And he threw a double coverage every time he got the cotton picket football. It was a joke. So California won, but didn't beat the line. I've lost a couple by half a point, so I'm not doing very well, so you might want to go opposite of what I say. I'm still studying it, trying to figure out what is the best game for me to pick. As of right now, I had to pick one.
Chase, it's hard to miss that many in a row.
Yeah.
You know what? I mean, that's as good as getting that many in a row if you miss that many in a row. But the Blue Plate's brought to you by, man, our great friend Brian Harden. When you need strength, precision, and reliability, trust the team that's building Tuscaloosa Meat Arm over the last 30 years. Brian Harden Construction your partner in industrial fabrication, steel working, heavy equipment services from custom welding and structural steel to 24/7 crane rentals. No job is too big or too tough. Family owned, woman led, safety driven. That's Brian Harden Construction. Go to bhardenconst.com. All right, real quick, look at these games for the weekend within the SEC. The first game there, Auburn at Arkansas.
I saw it this morning as 1 point, but I think Jason said it was 2.5. I'm not sure.
Yeah, let's see. I'm trying to pull it up here. See, it was 2.5 this when we started the show, but the Alabama line went down 2 points. It's still 2.5. All right. Ole Miss, that line was 5.5 yesterday. It's 4.5 today. That Georgia game took a lot out of Ole Miss. Oklahoma went over and steamrolled South Carolina. That was one of Doug's picks. Your thoughts there, Ole Miss at Oklahoma. Ole Miss needs this game. Maybe the loser of this game probably will lose another, and that'll put them out of the playoff, possibly. So a big game for those two guys over there, 11 o'clock on ABC.
Yeah. It's hard picking right now, boy. I think it's hard to figure out. Was it 2.5 point favorite Arkansas?
No, they're 2.5 underdog. You get plus 2.5 if you're Auburn. So, okay. All right, Missouri at Vandy. You got to take Vandy minus 2.5 there. Texas, Mississippi State. Chase, Texas minus 6.5. Texas struggled to knock off Kentucky in overtime. Texas A&M at LSU. That's a night game. A&M's favored.
Big game for
A&M, Barry. Huh? Yeah, big game, yeah. A&M's favored. I don't know about that. I think that might change. Tennessee and Kentucky. Tennessee, we'll see if they let Alabama beat them twice. They're on the road at Kentucky. Tennessee fans left out of here mad, Chase. They were mad leaving Tuscaloosa. But it is what it is. Tennessee, 9.5 point favorite against the Kentucky Wildcats. Tennessee, pretty good football team. I think they gained 412 yards on Alabama, but we'll see. As this is a pretty good weekend right there. All right, we'll get out of here. We missed a break, so I know Chase has got to double those breaks there. We'll get out of here and make way for the Gary Harris Show. So keep it locked in here all day long. Gary is next. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports. Have a great day, everybody.